My Farming Week, a Daisha Today special on WLR.
Thanks to Acre Agri-Finance. Agri-credit for rural enterprises from Corda, Tallow, Lismore and Capoquin Credit Unions.
Well, good morning, Damien. And this morning, as part of my Farming Week, I'm down here in beautiful Dunhill, overlooking the sea here on the farm of the Moore family here in Dunhill. I've Niall Moore and his uncle Willie Moore, who are part and very much part of the Constructed Wetlands and 10 farmer group of dairy farmers down here. Pretty unique and a fantastic setup down here. First of all, Niall Moore, thanks for having us down.
You're very welcome, Kieran. We're delighted to have you here today.
As regards before, we talked to Uncle Willie, the man who really instigated all what happened with the wetlands here. You might briefly outline how you work side by side here.
Okay, Kieran, we're both milking 120 cows on two farms. I milk a change in 2018 to a robotic system of milking with two Lely A4 robots, and Willie is milking 120 through a herringbone parlour in the farm in Kilcannon.
Growing up as a young boy here in Dunhill, I know the Moors for generations very much into sport. Was dairy farming always going to be the love for Niall Moore, or were you a late convert?
No, absolutely, from day one, Kieran. Was all about the farm here, through my late grandfather, Willie, my father. The boardroom was my grandmother's table in the kitchen. That's where we met twice a day and decided what we're going to do.
Turning to you, Willie Moore, uncle of Niall. Willie, again, like Niall, you were born into a farm, a mixed farm back in your dad, Ned Moore, well-known GA circles, well-known farming circles. It was a mixed farm back in the 40s, 50s.
That's right, Kieran. We would have had sheep, cattle, did a bit of market gardening. My father was into that. We supplied Chippers in Tramore and the hotels, the Grand Hotel at the time, and Tower Hotel in Waterford.
A lot of labour involved because you had a dairy, you had beef, you had sheep, and you said the potatoes, very labour intensive.
We had, but that time, like the two brothers were involved as well, Tom and Jack. And there was plenty of hard work, but that time everyone was doing it, so it didn't seem like too hard.
You told me a good story there. First of all, you loved the sheep and involved producing good lamb here for the butchers of Waterford and the hotels. But as regards the chips, Cunningham's Fish and Chip, you were telling a story back in the heydays of the 60s when the Tramore Races was a huge racing festival, supplying chips to Cunningham Fish and Chip, or supplying potatoes for chips in Cunningham's.
That's right. I just remember 14th of August, we brought in 26 bags, that's 2,600 weight of potatoes. And on the 17th, we got another call to say that they were out. So we had to go back and get another half a ton. Yes. And at that time, and this is the truth, digging them with a sprung. My father used to be ahead of us. But we just had that particular year, we had a fabulous crop of potatoes. So it didn't take all that long. And then the machinery got a bit better as we got into it a bit more. But then we moved on further. We got away from all that and got into the dairy then after that.
Of course, dairying, you have a fabulous setup here at the moment. But dairying at that stage was just starting to take off in Ireland. We joined the EEC in the 70s. So a very exciting time to be expanding into dairy.
Yes, it was. And we were just before the quotas did come in, we were really after getting into, so we had decided that we would really get into the dairy. And like we were milking that time here in Jack's farm, Niall's father's farm at the time, like we were milking 120 something cows.
That was unheard of at that time.
Yeah, we were probably, with a 10 unit milking machine here. And then after that, the quotas moved on. Just before that, we had got a bad outbreak with of TB, and we were building again. And
so people mightn't realise, just to the non-initiated, when you get an outbreak of TB on the farm, you might tell the people what has to happen to the herd, because you were building up, milk quotas were coming, and you had a sizeable herd here in Dunhill, and then TB struck, which meant you might tell our listeners the impact of that.
Yeah, that was devastating to us. At that time, they'll come and test the animals. If the animals have the lumps, they show lumps, and they're over the certain size, they're regarded to have TB. So they're taken out of the herd.
So you lost a big number at that stage?
We lost. Getting clear of that, yes. Between the few tests, We lost 69 animals that time.
Gee, that was devastating for yourself, your dad, the whole family. That's like losing family members. And really, you were heading in the right direction. Now, all of a sudden, this catastrophe.
Yeah, like people say that, and this has happened twice in my lifetime. You'd hear people, and people might laugh at this, but it is like a death in a family. Like, you have had those animals for so long, you're years building them up, and next thing, just to see they're gone. Like, within 2 or 3 days of they being going down, they're gone out of your place.
But you rebuilt, and you built back up the herd, and then milk quotas going almost 10 years ago at this stage. That must have been an unbelievable period for you to realise at last milk quotas, the handbrake was off on the Moore Farm.
Yeah, it was, to be quite honest, yeah. Like, it seemed the world was your oyster then, as far as that. But Jesus, in our case, it happened that we got another outbreak of TB. And at the time, we were building up, but we lost 52 animals to TB again.
So second time in your life.
Second time in my lifetime.
Just expanding, yeah.
Yeah, we were. And it is a soul destroying. And financially, it is crippling.
Now, as regards the herd presently, how many are you milking? I think Niall just touched on, but as regards, are you happy with the numbers you're milking at the moment, vis-a-vis the land you have here in Dublin?
Yes, we're at 120 is probably the max we would be at.
And you've your son involved?
And Gary, yeah, my son is involved, yeah. Yeah, he's doing most of the milking that I kind of helping out the best I can.
Niall, you come back, you start running Jack's, as Willie mentioned, your dad Jack's farm here. Number-wise, you're about the same as Willie.
Yeah, I suppose I'd have kind of taken over in 2009, Kieran. My father took the early retirement at the time. So I went and I changed a few things. I suppose, lucky, all the work my father had done over the years, and father and Willie and that, and building it up. And we were lucky enough that we didn't have the same effects with TB here. Nice. So from 2009, I was building slowly under the schemes as they were. And doing a bit on the infrastructure, I suppose, on the farm.
And when milk quotas going, of course, that was a huge release for you.
Yeah, we definitely started to build numbers. We were fattening cattle as well at the time. So over the years, as the dairy has become the prominent industry on the farm, the beef enterprise is pretty much gone now. So it's all in with the dairy now. And in 2018, then we changed from a 10-unit herringbone to two robots, two Lely A4s.
How big a change was that, particularly in lifestyle for you, young man, your wife here with your sons and daughters running around here, as we speak, Susie here, daughter of the great Martin Kennedy. But how big a game changer was it getting the robots in?
It was a massive change, Kieran. People think that you do it for the labour side of things. That's part of it, but I think our grassland management and everything like that has come on a ton. We've taken the time to, we have the time to concentrate in that aspect of the farm in more detail. But definitely it freed you. It wasn't so much you had more time, but you were more in charge of your time. You weren't tied to the farm in the morning at 5:30 when we used the milk, or 4:00 in the evening. So it freed you up to do things at different times. You weren't tied to those 2 times of the day, every day.
And of course, the non-initiate, the robots, it's a setup where the cows could come in and out as they require to be milked, and indeed it's labour-free and very high-tech.
It is, Kieran, but I think what's the most satisfying thing for me when I look at my herd of cows now is for the people who wouldn't maybe be as up on it as the farmers, but the cows are in charge of everything themselves. They come to the robot when they want to be milked. There's no forcing the animal. They're
and
totally
quality
stress-free.
Yields hasn't been hampered, if anything, improved.
Absolutely, yeah.
And milk solids and all that. A lot of people even within the industry were afraid that these robots would have catastrophic effect.
No, because the information that you get from the robot, that's the part of the big game changer as well. You know what every cow is doing to point right. 1% of between their solids, their overall yield, even health wise, it's just the amount of information. You can make decisions just like that.
Willie, turning to you, of course, during your playing career yourself, your brother Tom and Jack, part and parcel of those great Dunhills teams, hurling and football. I know it so well from being on the other side of me, back with Capricorn FM. But as regards for you and the lifestyle, trying to play sport and keep a busy farm, how difficult was it, particularly during those playing years?
It was tough enough, but I suppose I made the point you there before about my father. Like, no matter what, you didn't miss training or you didn't miss a match.
So the cows were brought in good and early.
The cows were in early, yeah. I remember we were putting in hay one, and hay was something he said if it was fit to be baled, it was fit to be put in. But we only had half the field in, but there was a match that evening. So I said it'll be all right till tomorrow. So it was okay for that evening because we had a match. Yeah, you know, but he was great. No, we had a great lifestyle. Then I know it was hard, but like everyone was kind of the same. The lads you were playing with were kind of, you know, we were all equal.
And are you delighted, like Niall taking over from Jack, are you delighted that Gary has got involved with you?
Oh, without doubt, yeah. We're running it now as a partnership, and I suppose the quicker that'll all go to Gary, yes. Maybe the better at this stage of my life. Yeah, no, you know, we are going well, and he's doing a good job on it.
A lot of, and we'll talk to Niall on this, a lot of changes coming in, the whole environment, climate action, that. So having young men on board, because with such legislation coming on board, you might be questioning your future, but with Gary coming on board, I'm sure it's a great help for you.
Oh, it is, yeah, without doubt. And again, like, I know, we're talking about the wetlands and that, we are thinking that way ahead as well. Like, the last thing, and I'd say most farmers are like that now. 99% of farmers are thinking they don't want to be polluting any place either. So it's just what we can do to help the environment is the way we're all thinking.
Now we'll go down and look at the wetlands later on in the interview this morning. Niall, as regards the change that's coming, the whole biodiversity, climate change, sustainability, how challenging is it on farm for you, or do you feel it now as part and parcel of your daily chore, yourself and your Uncle Willie?
Well, I suppose, Kieran, farmers have always farmed under the rules and the legislation put before them. And I think if we look back since the war and food security in Europe, farmers are encouraged to, through the payments coming from Europe, to farm every acre, which led to a lot of ditches and things like that going out of farming. We were only paid on the land that we could farm on, whereas now we see the importance of our hedge grows and everything like that. And I suppose here on this farm, we've always been encouraged. My father was big into wildlife, what was on the farm, and we were nearly doing sustainable before it was in fashion. And I suppose part of that was the wetlands. When we went doing that in the early 2000s, we had ground that was rough farming ground, but we put it totally back into nature. And at the same time, we are creating wetlands that were taking care of any yard runoff and potential pollutants to the Anne Valley. And I know we're going to speak about the Anne Valley later on, but like, it's a massive success for the area. And it's
something you're very proud of.
Absolutely. I think in Dunhill, we've always tried to do the very best through the GA, the squash,
the community centre,
the enterprise centre, the parish hall at the time. I think it's been a massive part of our life, and I suppose something as grown up in the family I grew up in through the GA and everything else, we were always, it was right up there with the most important things we were doing, is what we could do within the community and what we could give back.
Now we're down here at the wetlands here, part and parcel of the Anne Valley project, and we're talking to the man himself, Willie Moore. Willie, you're really the pioneer in the wetlands. You might explain to people, first of all, what's constructed wetlands all about?
Well, the wetlands were a series of ponds put to take the dirty water coming from the farmyard. Now, it is the dirty water, the kind of milk washings, or there was silage effluent in my case going through it. It goes through a series of three or four ponds, and
they're full of reeds.
Full of reeds. The reeds take up all the impurities in the water. Now, the big problem with runoff from farmyards, phosphate is one of the biggest problems. I didn't know how good they were, but they just turned out. The phosphates were really high when the dirty water coming in, but by the time they left the last pond, they were non-detectable.
You could nearly drink the water.
The water was drinkable, and there was Eamon the Butler, which everyone would know from television.
Yes, great man of nature for himself and girlfriend Gelvin, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
A muffin spare,
that's it. He was unbelievable. He really believed in this. And like, it was Dr. Rory Harrington that he was very friendly with, but really did believe in this.
And did he drink that water from the bottom lake?
He drank the water from the bottom lake.
And he's still to the good.
Well, the poor man has gone there, but he lasted a lot of years after then.
As regards, you mentioned Dr. Rory Harrington. He had that concept. You were the first man to kind of take the plunge. You were a believer from early on, were you?
I was, because I had run off from the farm, and I really needed to be sure that I wasn't polluting further down the line. Now, we would have had to put up a concrete structure. At the time, we priced it and all, and it was coming to around £18,000 at the time. So this other thing seemed, if it was working...
And cost-wise, it's only a fraction, was it?
We built that one in 1996 for £2,600 at the time. And the best thing I ever did as far as
you were kind of put up as a pioneer. Were you nervous at any stage, is this going to work? Because I remember at that time people talking about Willie Moore and the wetlands, and obviously we can continue on with the Anne Valley and nine other farmers followed your suit. But were you nervous at any stage?
I was, Cian, to be quite honest. Like, I didn't really know it was a leap of faith with me to do that. But the council did come on board and they kept testing the water, and the results were really coming back. The results I was seeing, and of course they had to be explained to me, but the results I saw coming back, and as the year moved on and on, they were getting better and better. But by the time the dirty water was leaving the thing, these phosphates were non-detectable.
Fantastic,
which, if someone asked me to start, I might, you know, I would have seeing was believing. Yeah. And that place has been tested over the years, like that's come back since 1996.
It's unbelievable, really, and the success they've been, and to see the quality of the water coming out here on that lower lake. As I mentioned earlier, the Anne Valley group, then nine other farmers followed suit.
That's right. The Anne Valley, we started off as the
Anne in total.
Yeah, there were 10. I think there was 13 came in to start, but by the time I think it whittled down to about 10 by the time we got into it. Each one of them did it, and then we got to the point that when everyone was in, we had this clean water. And Rory Harrington then had done ponds all the way along up the Anne Valley. So we were saying then, well, look, this was all public money that was put into this, and people are never going to see it. What an opportunity to put a walk straight up through the middle of the whole thing. And that's really where that the Anne Valley walk started from.
Well, really, listen, I think it's fantastic. It was a brave decision. And as you see where what's happening, I'm going to talk to Niall about it now, your nephew, about going forward, this whole biodiversity, sustainability and climate change. Like, you were with Dr. Rory Harrington leading the way, but you were the man that took the plunge.
Yeah, we were. Like, I suppose if you look at it now, you could say we were maybe ahead of our time, but which turns out to be brilliant.
You're proud of it.
I am proud of it, and I'm proud of the fact that we're not polluting.
Yes.
And
brilliant.
I've never had a bad test out of that since 1996.
As regards the, as I said earlier, what you've done here, the biodiversity and indeed the constructive wetlands, the success they've been, but a lot of people are changing different formats of farming because of the constraints as regards the biodiversity, sustainable farming.
Yeah, Kieran. We've kept up with this all the way through, I suppose. And I suppose Willie mentioned the reed beds, and we were a bit ahead of the game on that one. As regards it created biodiversity in itself. So we have a trail and shoe spreading on the farm, which is directly injecting the slurry into the ground. So we're getting the full benefit of all the nitrogen, the phosphorus, potassium straight into the ground. And Willie did as well. Yes, this year we've planted multi-species swards on parts of the farm, so we're doing that using protected urea, which results in less loss to the atmosphere. So I think farming is doing its very, very best to improve the way we do things. And we've really, as I said before, the legislation is there. Farmers will come under it. But I think it's happening so quickly now that we're trying to catch up, and that needs to be time given to farmers to develop their farm and the way they do things, their practices, and be allowed to mitigate some of the things we do against our carbon footprint. Because part of the legislation piece I've spoken about is, say, the renewable piece is the whole connecting to the grid as regards with solar panels in, getting the full value for the electricity we could create, cooperative digesters in the area that could that could power the whole general area.
More time, give people more credit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Finally, to Willie, to you, just to wrap it up. Your son Gary's involved with you. Niall has taken over from your brother Jack. He's dad Jack. You must be very proud, and I'm sure your late dad Willie or Ned Moore would be so proud of what the Moore Farm stands for now at the moment.
I think so, Kieran. He would have loved these wetlands because he was always into that type of thing, the environment and animals and wildlife. He was always into all that. I think he would be very proud if he was back here today to see the way and to see how Niall's thing has progressed with the robots and all that.
Yeah.
We're a little bit behind that, but you know, I could see that going forward.
You're mixing nature, you're mixing modern technology, and really the best of all worlds here. Really, you've been a credit to yourself, your late dad, the Moore family, Dunhill itself. You're always renowned in the hurling and football pitches, but as farmers and progressive farmers, farming to the highest sustainable standards, I think you deserve great credit. Listen, thanks for having me down here today.
Well, thank you very much, Kieran.
Well, that's about it for my Farming Week, Damien. Once again, my thanks to all the farming families who hosted us during the week. It was a fantastic week, seeing what's happening on farm, the sustainable farming efforts that's going on, and the forward-thinking farm families right around the county of Waterford. And also a special thank you, of course, to Acre Agri Finance, the fantastic group of credit unions in West Waterford, Corda and Dungarvan, Tallow, Lismore and Capricorn credit unions, and the fantastic help that they're giving the farming families right around the county. And once again, our thanks to you, Damien, for hosting us for my Farming Week. Looking forward to next year already. Back to you in studio.
WLR's My Farming Week, a Dacia Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to Acre Agri Finance, Agri Credit for rural enterprises from Corda, Tallow, Lismore and Capoquin credit unions.